This year marks 100 years since what came to be known as Red Summer, a series of violent attacks and riots against African Americans across the country over many months in 1919.
The term Red Summer was coined by James Weldon Johnson, who at the time was field secretary for the NAACP. And he used the term Red Summer to signify the blood that flowed during those months.
Chad Williams is chair of African American Studies at Brandeis University.
It was a period of really truly unprecedented racial violence, one of the worst periods of racial violence in American history, where you have nearly three dozen riots, massacres taking place throughout the country, literally in every corner of the nation.
The wave of Black activism that met this violence bolstered organizations like the NAACP and helped lay the groundwork for current movements like Black Lives Matter. But Chad Williams told me why the end of World War I created the conditions that led to that violent period.
You have the United States just having fought and won a war ostensibly to make the world safe for democracy. But by the spring of 1919, the euphoria of winning the war had worn off, and it was replaced with tremendous anxiety about what was going to happen, to the United States in terms of labor relations, in terms of race relations. And that really coalesces into these very local but incredibly spectacular forms of racial violence that we see happening across the country. And Black veterans are at the heart of that conflict.
Now, you say anxiety. This was anxiety that white Americans were feeling towards Black Americans?
Certainly. And you see this manifesting in different ways in both the North and the South. And it plays out in terms of labor relations. There's tremendous tension surrounding the shortage of jobs. Again, you have American soldiers, literally tens of thousands, returning back to the United States on a daily basis, returning back to their homes, some not returning to their homes, relocating to other areas, largely in the North. So there's a tremendous strain just on labor, job opportunities, and the competition that ensues. So there's anxieties surrounding that. There's anxieties surrounding the so-called return to normalcy, this desire on the part of many Americans to try and return to a pre-war status quo. And that coming into conflict with the expectations, particularly amongst African-Americans and Black veterans in particular, that they were not going to return to a state of normalcy, that things were going to be different. They had just fought a war to make the world safe for democracy. They had contributed their labor, their lives to the American war effort, and they expected to be treated as not just equal citizens, but full human beings, right? And those expectations really went counter to the desire for many white Americans to reinstill a sense of normalcy in the form of white supremacy.
Chad, how much of this violence was either ignored by the state, local or federal law enforcement, or sanctioned, if you will, by those entities?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, that African Americans could not expect protection from the state. Right. And that's something that we're obviously still grappling with today in many different forms. At the federal level, when we think about the role that Woodrow Wilson played or didn't play in the violence of the Red Summer, he essentially turned a blind eye to what was happening. So literally during the Washington, D.C. riot, as African Americans are being beaten and killed directly across the street from the White House, he's doing nothing. In terms of federal troops, sometimes they help to quell the violence, but in cases like in Arkansas, they were active participants and contributed to the violence. And the same could be said for local police as well. So on the one hand, there's this kind of larger national story of the state really turning its back on protecting a group of American citizens, form of African Americans. But then when we kind of drill down at the local level, we see how those local dynamics really play out in different ways. Thinking about the differences between a place like Arizona and Arkansas, for example, and Chicago, where you do have police who are sometimes participating in the riots, but then the National Guard steps in and they really help kind of quell the violence and keep the peace. So the local dynamics, I think, are really important to consider as well.
We know that Black Americans have not gone quietly in a lot of these instances. There has been a history of resistance in the African American and Black American communities. Tell us what it looked like during Red Summer.
Yeah, that was really one of the defining characteristics of the Red Summer is the determination of African Americans to not submit to this wholesale attack on their lives and their humanity, to engage in active, conscious, collective resistance, self-defense. We see this manifesting in a number of different places in a number of different ways, certainly physical self-defense. During the Washington, D.C. riot, during the Chicago riot, you have Black veterans who are taking up arms, who are setting up defensive positions and taking out white people in the process. But you also have collective resistance in the form of civil rights organizations like the NAACP, who really comes into its own as a national organization, in large part due to the efforts of James Weldon Johnson during World War I and in the aftermath of World War I. So they use the Red Summer as an opportunity to demonstrate its commitment to protecting African Americans and their civil rights.
We are nearing the anniversary of Ferguson and the events that happened there a couple of years ago. Many would argue that that was the beginning, if not what spurred, or around the beginning of the time of Black Lives Matter and that wave of Black resistance. Red Summer also marked a new era of Black resistance, particularly to white violence. How do you connect, or can we connect, the Black resistance then to where it is today?
Certainly. Well, one of the most iconic, legendary poems coming out of the summer of 1919 was by Claude McKay, "If We Must Die." And, you know, he said, "If we must die, let it not be like hogs slaughtered. We're going to fight back." And we see that legacy, that spirit of resistance, of collective determination to resist white racial violence, whether it's in the form of individual vigilante violence, whether it's in the form of state violence, continuing throughout the 20th century, and I think manifesting itself in the form of the Black Lives Matter movement that is still certainly active today.
Chad Williams is professor and chair of African American Studies at Brandeis University and the author of Torchbearers of Democracy, African American Soldiers in the World War I Era. Chad, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.